Hi, I'm Hobie.
I'm G.
I'm Strangey.
Why is that funny?
Oh, God. This is Tales of Togger, a WhatsApp group podcast packed full of absolute nonsense and some football. Like and subscribe, is that what they say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah? How do they like and subscribe?
Just like, and I don't know, mate.
We don't know. Just that'll do.
Go to Tales of Togger Twitter. I'll post the link.
Like it. Welcome back to Tales of Togger. We have the second episode. 50 listeners in week one. We are taking over the world. The world.
The fucking planet.
Joining me as ever this week, streaming live from his dad's garage, it's Strangey.
Hi, lads.
Streaming live from most probably a bin, George.
Hey, hey.
And this week's special guest is our mate Dan Hall, a United fan. He's come on to discuss all things Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be here. So we said, dream
United expert, mate. Not slim short, not just a fan.
Yeah, our United expert, our resident United expert.
Yeah, I feel I'm coming on just to be berated, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably coming your way. Certainly from the carriage or the bin. I mean, maybe we do that. Maybe they're going to be your sort of famous nicknames: the garage and the bin.
I don't know why I'm garage.
No, be fair, George. If anyone's living in a bin, it's you.
I woke up this morning, obviously had a few drinks last night, and just the mess, it just, honestly, every time I wake up, it's just, there's just shit everywhere. It's chilly on the floor. And I'm like, what the fuck happened?
I can just imagine being like a scene out of Hangover.
Just when it is very much, yeah. Mate.
Yeah, but just every day, yeah. Even on a school. Yeah, so, okay, so today we're going to talk, first of all, about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and let's just get straight into it. So, Dan, we've got you on for a reason. We want to heckle you. We want to abuse you. Talk to us. What's your view at the moment? What's your overriding feeling about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
It's a difficult one to, like, say Ole in, Ole out. It's always on the fence, isn't it? I had a discussion with Strangey last week about it's just a constant roller coaster, isn't it, really? You know, you get that good feeling, you get a good few results against some of the better teams, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're on a roll. And then we come across Brighton and Palace, and, you know, it just all goes to pot, doesn't it?
I mean, would it be fair to use your analogy? It'd be, if it is a roller coaster, it's the world's worst roller coaster, because the highs are never really very high. It's just a nice bend on a roller coaster. Maybe it quickens a little bit, but it's always a bit shit.
Yeah, like that one at Alton Towers where people lost their legs.
Right, okay, let's not go into the new humour too quickly here. Let's at least bed in, G. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, I won't go that far to that, you know, we've lost our legs. You know, amputation's a bit extreme.
But no, I mean, the point remains. I mean, my question to you is, whilst you talk about the highs, are the highs a semi-final where he rested key players and you went out? A couple of results, obviously, in PSG that have never been followed up on. Are the highs that high?
No, that's the problem. Nail ahead there. Yeah, the highs aren't that high. They're basically good results, but, you know, in a league season or a, you know, you have to show consistency over the season, and same in a cup, you have to show consistency. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's like one of these lower league teams getting a result in a cup. It means nothing in the grand scheme of things, does it?
No, exactly. G, coming over to you, I mean, you've been very, very pro Ollie for bizarre reasons, given the fact that you shouldn't really care, but you've been a staunch defender of Ollie. What do you think?
I've made a complete U-turn, mate.
So, I love again.
What it was? It was the other night. Obviously, the goals. It's one of them. We can't defend. Fair enough. It was a second half performance. I just think you're 2-1 down against Istanbul, God knows what. A team who's never won a Champions League football game before. And there was just nothing. It was like, you know what I mean? It was like watching Sean Dyche's Burnley. There was just no creativity. It was just horrible. And I just thought, like, there's no plan here, is there? It's all right chucking Pogba and Greenwood and that on, but there was no plan. And so, yeah, Ollie out.
Ollie out. Strangely, why was he hired? Let's go right back to the beginning of it. Why was Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer even hired when, arguably, and I'm trying to sort of dim that down a little bit, arguably, if you look at his CV, he shouldn't be anywhere near this. What's the second club? Is it City of Man? No, United of Manchester or whatever that hell. Yeah. You know, the new club.
Is FC United of Manchester or something? Or
is he qualified to manage them? Never mind Manchester United.
No. He's not qualified. To,
no,
he's
next
not qualified
question.
To manage my high school year 11 football team. I've been very a lot of Man United fans who I know and have spoken to about this think I'm very harsh on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They're not going to like this episode if that's the case. I'll turn off now. He's terrible. He had no business being hired. He should not have been hired. The reason they took him on, everyone knows the reason they took him on is because of that win streak, the unbeaten streak. Was it 12 games, I think? We got 10 wins and something like that. I can't remember the exact win streak, but it was fantastic, brilliant. However, he had a contract to the summer and they just jumped the gun and made a stupid, rash decision and brought him in when he had about 12 games left on that deal. Why not just wait and see? Why not? Why not say to him quietly, we'll have a chat in the summer, Ollie. You're proving, you know, that you maybe deserve this. Fair play to you. We'll have to give you an interview. We'll have to really consider you if that win streak continues and they finish the season like they started it under him. That didn't happen and they've backed themselves into a corner with this stupid contract they've given him. Terrible, terrible decision making.
So, Dan, I keep wanting to call you DH, which is obviously what we call you, away from the pod. Dan, what was, again, back when he was hired, Strange has obviously spoken there about the run that he went on. What do you think at the point he was hired? No, let's do this both. At the point that he was hired on an interim basis, what do you think he's mandate was? What do you think the board said to him? And then at the point that they gave him the job full time, the same question, what do you think those two objectives separately would have been for Ollie?
I think the first one was just steady the ship. You know, I think that if you remember, we were basically kind of in the same position now as when Jose was sacked and the players weren't getting the performances. And as much as we blame Solskjaer, as much as we blamed in the past Jose, Van Gaal, you know, ultimately it is the players, isn't it? You know, the attitude of the players isn't there. I think Roy Keane said it the other day where, you know, they need to be motivated and he's basically going about, why do they need to be motivated? Do your job. But
that's his answer to everything, though, wouldn't it? Do your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what right on.
But the mandate, I think the first one was to stay the ship, get a few performances, get the heads up of the players. He did that as an interim, which is what... But the thing is, I think most interims do it, don't they? Most interims come in, it's just a bit of breath of fresh air and it's just the feel-good factor. But then I think his mandate was after that run, and quite rightly, as Stranger said, you know, they jumped the gun with the contract, basically. I mean, luckily, it's only a three-year deal. So it's not like when they give it Moyes and give him a six-year deal. So... I think they basically said, yeah, we're on a good run. We think, and I think Rio even said, oh, United's back. I was like, we beat PSG in a last-minute penalty. So there was that feeling that, oh, yeah, we're going to challenge next season. I was like, no. It's a long way to go. And I think that's where the mandate is unrealistic. There's an immediate bounce back to title challenges where it takes time.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, if we just for the last question from me in terms of staying in round about that period of time, strangely, from the outside, it looks like there was a decision to be made, Jose. It was back the manager or back the players. And Woodward seemingly decided to back the players and replace Jose with Ollie. Would it be fair to say now, looking back, look at the performances that have crept back in, Roy Keane's comments that the players will end up getting Ollie sacked, did Ed Woodward make the wrong choice?
Of course he did, 100%. But this happens far too often in football at the moment. You know, player power is at an all-time high. They can decide who's running the club to a degree, certainly who's running the affairs on the pitch, you know. But, listen, I don't want to get drawn up on Paul Pogba. I believe Paul Pogba got Jose sacked with his attitude and his displays and his, you know, disrespect towards the coach. He's going to do the same again to Ollie because he's just been awful. He's all the talent in the world, you know, world-class talent, absolutely. And I think Jamie Carragher said it on Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago. Gary Neville likes to claim that he's, you know, one of these all-time great midfielders, Paul Pogba. He isn't. He's an all-time great talent. However, he puts that together on the football pitch far too infrequently. And he's doing the same for Ollie. I think he made a terrible choice, Ed Woodward, in removing Jose and not getting rid of some of the bad apples in the dressing room. But he has to live with that now. You know, that is a decision that was made at the time, I believe wrongly, but it was a decision that needed to be made. It needed to be one or the other. I think he made the wrong one, personally. You know my feelings on Jose. He's a winner. I love him. He should, a man like Jose Mourinho, when he's the head coach of a football club or the manager of a football club, his resume and his reputation should be enough for him to have full autonomy on things that go on the pitch, with the players, with the squad of players, and with, in my opinion, with transfer dealings as well.
So, George, on that, I mean, we discussed last week, didn't we, with Spurs, that Jose has this reputation for perhaps, or does he have this reputation we discussed for being sort of pragmatic? The football that's being played at the moment over at Spurs, is that not United football? Does the fact that Jose have players, the fact that he has the players rather over at Spurs and he's producing that kind of football, is the kind of football over there reminiscent of sort of Alex Ferguson football, getting the ball down, Manchester United football? Did he need more time? Did he need more money?
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, I remember Mourinho said that was his biggest achievement, getting United second in league. And yeah, I think he's looked at the players and thought, well, how do I get the best out of these? You know what I mean? And he's not going to go and play decent teams off the park because, you know what I mean? I mean, Fred's come to a bit now, but at the time he was just, I don't know, he looked disabled. Then you've got, obviously, McTominay. Yeah, they just, I don't know, they just didn't have the players to do it. So, yeah, I'd have given him more time and backed him. I think to say, Jose can't do this, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can't, is a strange thought process.
Just on the Jose topic, I do think that he's playing with like no fear now. I did get the impression that United, he played with fear, in a sense he was with the pressure, he was scared to lose, and I think he did go more defensive at times, and the football wasn't as attractive. And that's where, you know, at Spurs, it's almost like when you were at Porto or when you were at Chelsea, when he first went to Chelsea, he went with this philosophy of, it doesn't really matter if I lose, so to speak, I can play the football I want, and he's got the players there, because you look at the players he brought in at United, the players were there for him to get the attacking performances out of.
Well, I'm just looking at the United's, all the players that he used at Manchester United. And if we compare it sort of to the Spurs team that he's got now, Chris Smalling, Antonio Valencia got 189 appearances, respectively, Ander Herrera, Ashley Young, Phil Jones got 57 appearances, Daley Blind, Marcus Rocco, Matteo Darmian, Michael Carrick got 43 appearances, Wayne Rooney. It doesn't exactly suggest rocket pace, does it? It doesn't suggest a very small unit like the one he got at Spurs. So I go back to the same question to you, DH. Should he have been backed and allowed to sort of take shape, or did this reputation for pragmatic football and or the fact that there seems to be this bizarre assertion that he's only ever good for 2 of the 3 year contracts that he has, and then the third year it all goes to shit. Where is your opinion?
Well, he was backed, wasn't he? He is the signings he made under United. So 2.5 years, Eric Bailly, Henrik Mkhitaryan, Paul Pogba, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Victor Lindelof, Nemanja Matic. Don't know why I'm saying the full names. But I'm going to continue now. Romelu Lukaku, Alexis Sanchez, Diego Dalot, and I don't know his full name, so just Fred.
You make a really good point there in sort of comparing, but remember what he inherited. So you're obviously listing a mix of players that are both first team players and squad players.
He didn't inherit the best.
The fact that he had to bring in so many, does that suggest that that the squad that he had, the one he inherited, literally was nowhere near challenging at the top end?
Yes and no. I'd say yes in the main sense. But then going back to your point about this blistering pace that you've got Tottenham to get on the counter, if you've not got that United, why is that not what you're bringing in? Where's the pace out of all them players that are going to bring that in? He's brought in big, strong players, you know, big, strong Paul Pogba in midfield and Ibrahimovic up front, Matic in the midfield. Although Lukaku's got pace, he's a big man, isn't he? You know, he's brought in these big, strong players, these units, almost like, you know, West Ham or even Burnley type players, obviously not for the talent, but for the physique. But we've just gone back to Tottenham. You look at the pace in Moura and Son on the attack. Why are you not bringing them players if that's what he needed? If that's where the weakness lied, why not bringing some quicker players?
I guess playing devil's advocate, did he need to build the foundations first? Did he need to make your heart? Because let's not forget that whilst certainly under Moyes and then Van Gaal, it's difficult. I think it's difficult Van Gaal the more I think about it, simply because he won an FA Cup. He was probably thinking, look at the tribe I was given and I won an FA Cup for you. What about, Strangey, back to you. I mean, what do you think? Should Jose have been backed with... Did he make the wrong choices with the money that he had, which I think is what DH has pointed?
I think you could certainly point to some of the signings and think, well, yeah, you know, didn't quite work out. Alexis Sanchez is the big one, obviously. You know, but I think it's one of those situations where you look at Alexis Sanchez at Arsenal, you think that is a guaranteed fantastic signing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone on that day when he brought him in was thinking, well, this is going to go to shit, you know. So there are a couple. Of course, there's a couple that could have been better buys. But I think some of the players you mentioned, the DH, and you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, you seemed a bit down on whether sort of strong and, you know, robust footballers such as Ibrahimovic, who has since been, you know, he's gone down as a United legend. Everyone seems to love him. Matic has just been offered a new deal and he's regularly starting under Ole. Lukaku, I mean, he scored, what, 25 goals in his first season there? Ole sold him. He was the top scorer in the Europa League last year and won Europa League Player of the Year. He's a fantastic, arguably on the verge of world-class centre-forward, which, in my opinion, certainly is what Manchester United are crying out for, and they haven't replaced him. You know, they've brought Cavani in as a free, yet to see how that one works out. It's a no-risk signing, but I think there's certain ones you could point to and think, yeah, maybe you could have brought in different or better players or, you know, could have spent the money a little bit more wisely. But I think some of the buys were fantastic. Again, I look at Paul Pogba. He brought him in, Jose. I don't think anyone was questioning that signing when they brought him in. Everyone thought, we've just signed one of the world's best midfielders. I think the problem with Paul Pogba is Paul Pogba, because clearly it's not worked out for Jose. It's not working out for Ole. I don't know if there's a manager who could come in and get that twat playing good football again on a consistent basis.
Stop it, maybe, mate.
I mean, if I could just jump in there, Strangey. George, what do you think? It seems like the whole of Manchester United revolves around Paul Pogba in terms of, I think we all agree that if you can get Paul Pogba firing, you've got some player there. But is he an easy target?
I don't really agree with that. He's, you know what I mean? He's made like 10 good passes in last year, and he's world-class talent. He's if you don't play well, it's all well and good saying he's got all this potential. If you don't play well, you're not good, are you?
Yeah.
So, for me, I'd plug him. The Lukaku one, again, I agree with Strange, bizarre. He's just a brilliant player. Why you'd get rid of him is God knows, mate. But
yeah, I'd agree with that. Go back to Pogba. Is a bit of a diversion question. Is he a YouTube player? I mean, obviously, us in England, when you were at Juventus and stuff like that, we all seen the clips of him and he's scoring goals from 30 yards and stuff. But can you be classified as world class if you can ping a ball and you've got technique? Are you just like one of these freestyle players? Because if he's not playing on the pitch,
I think the conundrum is that I think to doubt someone, which I do at times, don't get me wrong with Pogba, but I think it's almost bizarre to doubt someone who has won the World Cup with France playing as well as he did. And I think that's the problem that you're always going to have with Paul Pogba is we all know he can do it. He's shown flashes that he can do it. He's absolutely right that there's not the consistency there, but he has shown up on big occasions and played really well. But I think we'll have to sort of wrap up that part of it. But I'm going to ask all three of you a question right now. And I just want you to give me in a couple of sentences your answer to it. What can Ollie reasonably expect to achieve this season with this squad? G, over to you first.
A good manager, I think, could get it top four.
Ollie, yeah.
What can he? Nothing, mate. He'll be sacked in the next couple of weeks, so nothing.
Strangey?
He can reasonably expect to achieve fourth or fifth, but he will be sacked in the next month, I would say. I think if they lose to Everton today, he's probably one meeting away from being shown the chop. Because, yeah, in my opinion, as I mentioned to DH in private earlier in the week, the on-pitch side of things hasn't moved forward at all. So I don't think he's got a leg to stand on, really.
DH?
Yeah, I agree. I'd say third. You look at the players on paper and you think, why look at that compared to the other teams and even some of the bench as well. You think, why can this not challenge for, you know, third place? But the attitude of the players, so I agree with both G and Strange, the fact is that, you know, there's going to have to be some miraculous change of attitude of the players to look like they actually give a crap on the pitch to be able to get that. And I can't see it happening. I mean, look at Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes, the United fans have taken to him because he actually shouts and screams. He's very vocal about criticising players because he expects a certain level. And all other players just like, you know, meh to everything. So with that attitude, I do think that a loss to Everton could be the end of Ole. If not, you know, I can't see him getting past Christmas or next transfer window because I can't see a board wanting to invest in this roller coaster.
Right. Well, I think we'll draw a line under it there. DH, it's been wonderful to have you on the podcast. Well done, mate.
Cheers, DH.
Have you got any plans for the afternoon?
No, just chill out.
Excellent. Well, enjoy yourself, and we'll speak to you very soon. Oh, he went he's literally gone. As I was saying goodbye. So we'll have to edit that out. we'll just edit him out completely.
The podcast starts now, guys.
No, great to have him on.
No, he's a good lad.
Coming up next on Tales of Togger, we are going to discuss who we think our top four are going to be at the end of the season. Biggest upset prediction for this weekend. And before all that, we are going to have a few words from our sponsor.
Colt Hangers. Yes, Colt Hangers. The one and only solution for hanging your clothes any time of year. They are proudly sponsoring the show. We've signed up with a lucrative minimum 6-week deal with these guys. They heard the podcast. They were one of our 50 unique listeners last week. They said, we want a piece of the action. Really, really proud to bring you Colt Hangers as a sponsor of the show.
Just a quick question on this, mate. I mean, I think this is a rebuke, but how did Colt Hangers give you a call, given they have no ears and no face?
Just spoke to a rep. Yeah, email.
A rep.
He just got in touch. He said, listen, we, as the chairman of Colt, I want to get involved. I want to be on the podders. I want to know what's going on in the world of Togger, and we want you to promote our fantastic, reliable product. How could I turn it down with a pitch like that?
Speaking of promoting him, I'd just like to say there was a time when I just had a big pile of clothes on the floor. It was a nightmare. Now, it's short handed. Honestly.
To the rescue, mate. To the lifesaver.
So, just a final question. I don't want to draw too much attention to this. But so there's an association of coat hangers, is there?
Yes, mate. It's like a union. So all of them. There was a time where plastic and wood would be fighting for buys and wins, but they've formed together. There's a union, and they're headed up by a chairman, Mr. Hanger.
Do you know what I like about coat hangers as well? They're not just for coats. They can have t-shirts.
That's it. Misleading. Pads. Misleading. But everyone's figured it out. It's not that misleading because people have figured it out.
Right. Right. Well, thank you very, very much to coat hangers. Is there any strap line or anything strange for coat hangers?
Coat hangers, you can hang your coat here. Or other clothes. Wordy strap line. We'll have to talk about that.
No, honestly, catch. I can see it on the side of a billboard or something.
A bit wordy. Well, I'll have a word with him. I'll speak to him this week.
On the side of a billboard, apparently. You know, it wouldn't be on the billboard itself.
It wouldn't be on a fucking billboard, would it? It's coat hangers.
They sell themselves, to be fair.
They do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure no one actually buys coat hangers either. So I've no idea why that they have money in order to invest in us.
Well, that's the problem, you see. They're trying to build the brand because people don't buy them. They get them free with the clothes. And they're saying, well, hold on. You don't need to buy new clothes if you want some coat hangers. Just come and buy some of us.
So, and you think that's what happens, do you? That they think that people buy clothes just to get the coat hangers, do they?
Well, how else are you going to get them? You just said no one buys them.
Right. Okay, we are now going to move on to the next section of the show. Thank you very much, Strangey, for getting us another sponsor.
No problem. Thank you to coat hangers.
They hang coats. No, we move on. So, gee, is there anything, just spitball this, you know, off the top of your head, any ideas from you? Is there anything that you've seen this week that has particularly sort of caught your eye, angered you, made you laugh? I mean, I'm really interested, I'm sure all the listeners are, into knowing what the hell goes on in your brain.
I saw you mention this before, and I genuinely have nothing. like, I don't know. Yellow kits, do me a favour.
Yellow kits, right? Okay. And when
one thing that's annoying me at the minute is this COVID thing, because I get ready on Saturday, I get my iFollow on, ready to watch Blackburn, and I think, oh, we've got a good chance here. And then it's like, oh, yes, Bradley Johnson and Joe Roffle won't be playing today because they're isolated. And I'm just like, fuck off. You can't. You know what I mean?
I mean, that is a good point, isn't it? I mean, it's happening in every team at the moment, isn't it? That people seem to be isolating. Was it Kai Havertz? Is he the latest this week that's got it?
Yeah. It's a farce, mate. It's a farce. Like I say, it's negatively impacted Blackburn. If it negatively impacts our opponents, then I'm all for it. But, but yeah, so that. Apart from that, I've not really got anything, mate. One thing that's made me laugh, Richard Keys makes me laugh every week with his just insanity.
Yeah, go on.
I can't even think what he said this week.
I mean, was it this week or was it previous week that he said that, was it Pep Guardiola should bring in Big Sam as a defensive coach?
Yes, he did say that. Well, he thinks Pep should go. He's very much in my boat with Pep. He doesn't believe that he's a good manager. He's failed, so he should be gone. But
he doesn't believe he's a good manager at all.
Well, he's been a failure for years, so he might think he was a good manager. But I mean, you know, what I mean, stats don't lie, do they?
No, absolutely. I've told you, I'm not arguing about this with you. I'm not doing it.
No, that's fine. We all agree anyway, so it's fine.
Strangey, what about you? Anything that has caught your eye this week?
Yeah, I had a little this week in football catch up yesterday. I've got it on my notes here. I do make notes, you know, for the show. fail to prepare and prepare to fail. There's a few things that piss me off this week, really. Did anyone see that second yellow card against Chelsea in the week in the Champions League?
Yes, I heard about it.
Absolutely pathetic. I don't even want to talk about it. It was that embarrassing. VAR in general is just a fucking sticking point. You know that with me. I just wish it would just die a slow and painful death. Speaking of VAR, Mike Dean, I don't like him anymore. I used to really like him, but I don't like Mike Dean anymore. He seems to be making some really odd decisions as the VAR official, and it's all just a bit about him, innit? He's always...
That is ace. Honestly, I will never go against Mike Dean. He just... those clips you see on YouTube and stuff of him just... Yeah, just acting like he's, I don't know, in the West End. Well, he's giving.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just getting a bit sick of it, to be honest. Mesut Ozil, he's pissing me off. What's he doing?
I think he's sitting at home looking at himself in the mirror, thinking, "God, I do look a bit like a gargoyle, don't I?" And he does. Yeah. I'm not being horrible, but he does a little bit.
He does, but what's he doing?
What's he doing, though? He's been dropped. It's not like he's doing anything, is it?
I know, but why has he been dropped, though? What's he doing behind the scenes? 300 grand a week. What's that? Why can't he get a spot in, no disrespect, in that Arsenal squad?
I think speaking out against China, mate, will be the reason.
Yeah, and you also now sound a lot like Donald Trump. You're like, no, the voting's rigged. The voting's rigged. Why? Why? Ah, well, you know, something must be going on there because I was winning and now I'm not. Yeah, but isn't that counting? No, it's not counting. No, it's rigged. It's fraud. Fraud. And you're doing the exact same with Ozil. You must have done
great
something.
Great segue, that, Holmes. Just want to give a big shout out to Joe Biden on his win. It hasn't been announced yet, but it will be very shortly, I'm sure.
We discussed this, guys. We discussed this. We're not promoting electoral fraud on the
fantastic podcast.
The
pay-per-view scheme, that's been scrapped, in it. That's really good because that is embarrassing. And the one big takeaway from this week was a guy on Twitter called, it's a nice little segue from our first topic, actually. A guy on Twitter called, and this is genuine, called Baked in Oshikuku. Okay? he said on a post of Jack Grealish's that he's watched Grealish for a year and he's no longer overrated in his eyes, but he isn't at Paul Pogba's level. Right. So apparently this guy is the authority on overrated when he thinks Paul Pogba is a shining light in world football still. What a knobhead. And also United fans in general on Jack Grealish and Villa's Twitter, fuck off. He's not signing for you now, especially now. You utter weirdos, just leave him alone.
Right. Well, thank you very much for that, Loz. You too. I think lots of different things there. Obviously, to the 50-odd listeners who listened last week and any new ones, what do you think of Strangey and George as well? What do you think of George? What you basically learned is that he has an empty head and doesn't think about any week.
So basically, I was discussing this with a pal of ours, Ben, yesterday. I'm not going to speak in the group as much anymore because it's just like speaking to a CNN panel.
All right. So we're going to move on now.
No politics, G.
We're going to move on to the next section, a little interjected section. But I think what we need to do is ensure that the listeners know exactly who they're listening to. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you both some questions simultaneously. Stranger, you'll answer first. G, second. First answer that pops into your head, yeah?
Yep,
got it.
Okay. Best left foot in the league?
Best left foot in the league. Oh my God. Why do I not know any left footed players all of a sudden? Ben Chilwell. What?
Jay?
Lewis Holtby.
Right. Okay. So you're picking a different league. Right.
Yeah, he didn't specify the league, to be fair.
Yeah, I didn't, to be fair. Best right foot in the league?
Harry Kane. Sorry, I'm not meant to be first.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Best looking player in the league?
James Rodriguez.
Jordan Henderson.
Oh, my.
Jesus Christ.
next big move.
Paul Pogba's got to be out of there, surely. He has to go in January. He just has to.
Bradley Dack to Real Madrid.
Unexpected transfer. You've already gone there, G, so you could just keep us.
Unexpected transfer. I can see, the more I've thought about it since last week, I can see Kevin De Bruyne on the move soon, you know. I don't know why so much is telling me.
Best manager of all time?
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, Mourinho.
Best manager in the Premier League currently?
Jurgen Klopp. Has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely Klopp.
Manager in the fairly recent past you would give one more job to? So someone who's no longer in it that you give one more job to?
Oh, God. That's a tricky one, that, because the ones I would associate with that, well, Big Sam, I suppose. I think he's a great manager. I think he needs a shot somewhere. It's got to be the right fit for him, though, hasn't it?
Yeah. G?
Yeah, it's got to be Big Sam. I know his wife won't like that, but yeah, it's got to be Big Sam.
Right, because you know her, do you?
Well, yeah. she's worried about his heart. I've read his book. Great book, by the way. Just like to promote that. But yeah, she's a bit worried about his heart, mate.
Player who makes you most angry on FIFA?
Oh, God.
Oh. Feel the despair. Listen to the despair in his voice.
Honestly, there's so many. I'll tell you who's a fucking shithouse. That Erling Haaland. Honestly, when I come up against him, he cannot miss. I just want to smash his face in.
Jay?
Gabriel Jesus, mate. Without a doubt.
Jesus!
Just an awful. I don't even want to talk about it. It's getting my stress levels up just thinking about it. I'm not playing FIFA today.
No, but please, mate. You know he's called Jesus. Please don't. Jesus.
Gabriel Jesus Christ.
I honestly think in future weeks we should do a good main segment, half an hour on FIFA, because honestly, the feelings, the emotions that I felt through the airwaves then from the two.
Honestly,
yeah,
I can't even fucking look at. I can't even look at the little thumbnail on my Xbox at the moment with Mbappe to open it. It drives me fucking insane.
Okay, well done, lads. Okay, let's move on. What I want to know from you guys is, as things stand now, if you look at the top of the Premier League, we've got Southampton in first, Liverpool, I think, in second, Leicester in third, Tottenham fourth, and I'll just do top five just because Everton are fifth. Who is going to end up in the top four? G, let's come to you first.
So we've got Liverpool as champions, Spurs second, Chelsea third, Leicester fourth.
Yeah, City not in the top four?
Not for me, no.
No.
No, not for me. You can throw all the money in the world at it. It's, no, not for me.
So you can throw... Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Well, they're just, I don't know, just tactically inept.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're good. They've got some good players, but they're not outstanding, are they? They've got a few good players dotted around. But for me, yeah, just they're a good side, but not as good as that top four.
Yeah. Strangey, what about you?
Okay, I'll go from first. So I'm here to concede that I don't believe, from what I've seen so far, that Manchester City will win the league, as I predicted earlier in the show and in the season. I think Liverpool will win the league. I think City will finish second. I think Spurs will finish third. And I think Chelsea will finish fourth.
So I just want to let you know that if Manchester City win their two games in hand, they would be top as things stand. Does that change your mind at all?
No, I do that. I do my research. I make notes.
You do make notes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I know they probably will be there or thereabouts. I think it'll be a hell of a lot closer than last year. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not writing them off entirely, but from what I've seen of Liverpool so far, they've looked very strong. However, I do think, I'll put my neck on the line, I do think City beat them tomorrow.
Nice. What do you
putting that out there? No VVD.
What do you both think of James McLean?
What do you mean? What do we think of James McLean? Irrelevant. I mean,
that's straight out of left field, but he's all right.
It's all right, mate.
Why have you asked that, mate?
I was just on the BBC website. There's just a picture of a guy. It's not even James McLean. but it's a guy who looks like James McLean. And I thought,
I thought you were trying to get a bit of a bit more of a political vibe from us there with his whole Poppy situation. But
No.
We agreed we weren't going to do politics on the show, apart from congratulating the president-elect. Anyway.
So they're your top fours. I mean, who's out of that, who would be most disappointed to have missed out? Which is a bizarre thing to ask, I know. But obviously, look, Man United looking like they're looking. Chelsea with the money that they've spent. Leicester, always there or thereabouts. Arsenal, you know, Mikel Arteta is the second coming of Christ. Who would be disappointed the most, do you think? Who legitimately should be in there that you don't think will be?
Manchester United.
Man City for me.
Fucking hell. Honest to God. Manchester United have to... The squad they have... They have to finish in the top four. There's no excuse for it. But they won't. They won't do it because they've had a shocking start. And unless they change something drastically quick, it ain't going to happen, I think. I think they'll just be fifth or sixth, few points off fourth, top four. I think the top four is just so much stronger this year. You look at last year's, I mean, 66 points got two teams into the top four. I did a bit of research. Nobody has got in with that fewer points in the last 15 years, apart from one side, who were Manchester City in the season that Leicester won the league. So that's the kind of standard we were working from last year. I think it's going to be completely different this year. I think there's going to be mid-70 plus points up in the top four for all four teams. So yeah, I think they'll be way off.
Yeah. What about Everton? Where do you see them ending?
Sixth or seventh. I think sixth would be a really good season for them. I think they've got to kick on a bit. And it's, you know, you can't expect to jump from, where did you finish last season? 9th, 10th?
I think so. Maybe not even that. Maybe 12th. Can't remember.
Yeah, you can't expect to jump 6 or 7 places in a league just all of a sudden. You know, I think whilst it's going to be a little bit more open for those middle tier teams there, they, you know, I think to get in the top six, that's something to be really proud of and a real good kick on, yeah.
Results got, sorry, if they win at lunchtime today, they do go top.
They have a top.
Wow, we.
Yeah.
Eighth at best, mate. Without Richarlison, you're basically Fulham.
But I don't understand. Without Richarlison, he's not dead. He's just suspended for one more game.
Oh yeah, you'll do well again when he comes back. But hey, that's why I'm giving you eighth, mate. Basically, if he was out for the season, then 17th.
Oh, we'd go down, would we?
Yeah, I'd expect so. Yeah, you look awful, mate. Who's last two games? Newcastle, was it?
Newcastle and Southampton.
Yeah, terrible. Both times, terrible.
Yeah?
Dinosaur tactics. No record. Yeah, poor.
Yeah, we do me a massive favour. We start calling Richarlison. I mean, there's literally a very explicit H in there. I mean, it's as if you're just skipping.
Yeah, but I'll
Richarlison.
You know, I don't understand why you keep doing it. You've been doing it for a while now, and it's really starting to fuck me off. Why are you doing it?
I don't know, mate. Well, I've never heard him say... I want to be called Richarlison, so until he does.
That's how his fucking name's spelt, man.
Yeah, but look at Jesus. You say I can't say fucking Jesus. His name is spelt as it is in the Bible, Jesus.
Right. And how many times have you read the Bible?
From start to finish, never.
Oh dear! I mean, do you want to plug Alan Kirbishley at all? You know, I think the listeners would want to know a little bit more about. Have you had any time to think about more reasons why you'd like Alan Kirbishley to manage Blackburn?
No more than I did last week. I mean, I've not seen him in 12 years. I don't think he's done anything last week to convince me. You know what I mean? He's been more qualified than he was last week.
No, but that's our point. I mean, that's what we're saying. And you're saying nah, he's the man. He's the man to take us forward. Him being a young, progressive coach, you know.
Well, he is. You don't know what he's been up to for the last 12 years. He might have been doing coaching courses in, I don't know. You know what I mean? He might be taking sports science courses.
Sports science? Why?
But also, he might not.
He might not. No.
Oh dear. So, I guess the last thing for us to discuss is the fixtures this weekend. Have you guys had a look at the fixtures?
Yes.
Well, what do you think? Any upsets in there?
The only upset I could possibly see, I don't know if this is an upset, would be United beating Everton.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I've looked through them and I can't see anything that would be surprising. I think Leeds will beat Palace away. I don't know if that's an upset.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it would be, yeah, given the fact that Leeds have come up.
Yeah, but apart from that, no, mate, I think things will go as to plan.
Strangey.
Yeah, the two fixtures that George mentioned I've written down there. Leeds, I think, will beat Palace as well, but I'm not sure if you class that as an upset, really. I think Everton will beat United. And again, I'm not sure you class that as an upset at this point of the season. City will beat Liverpool. I've already said that. And I think that will probably be classed as a minor upset. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. The two top teams, aren't they? And obviously Villa will beat Arsenal on Sunday. So
with City thing, do you not worry that they don't have a striker?
Yeah, I do. But I worry less for City striking options than I do for Liverpool's centre-half options this weekend.
All right. So, sorry, go on, mate. Sorry.
But yeah, Villa against Arsenal. Obvious win that for me.
So, let's end the show with a little game. Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you facts about a footballer. And it's the first one to answer with the football that you think it is. You ready?
Oh, nice.
Love it.
Okay. Colombian.
James Rodriguez.
James Rodriguez.
No, stop. Don't call him James. Honestly, you're an annoying pest. You know that? You're a really, you're a really annoying, bid-residing pest. retired?
Carlos Valderrama.
Antonio Valencia. He's not Colombian, he's from Venezuela.
Ecuadorian.
Ecuadorian.
centre-forward?
Oh, it's what's his name? Romadal Falcao.
No. Played for Aston Villa.
Oh shit!
John Carew.
He's Norwegian. Pablo Angel.
Yes, Angel. Very good.
Yeah, I just couldn't really figure out where he was from for a moment, but yeah, good lad. Him, gorgeous hair.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, yeah. Next one. You ready?
Yep.
Central defender?
Ryan Nelson.
Retired?
Keno.
Born in... Oh, sorry, G, go on.
Could be anyone, man. Paolo Maldini.
51 years of age, born in 1969.
Ronald Koeman.
Strangey?
51. Fuck knows. No idea. Steve Bold. He's probably older than that.
Had two stints at Blackburn.
Ooh. Colin Hendry.
Henningberg.
Well done.
Nice.
Well done. And should we have one more?
Yeah. Go ahead, mate. Go ahead.
Okay. First one, goalkeeper.
Jordan Pickford. Shite.
yeah, I'll second that. Jordan Pickford, shite.
No. Loves sweets.
What?
Oh, I know this. Someone used to carry a pack of sweets with them, didn't they? sorry, that makes me sound like a kiddie fiddler.
Nigel Martin. Mitch Moores.
Tim Flowers.
Australian.
Oh, Mark Bosnich.
Mark Bosnich, correct. So, yeah, Alex.
Also Moon. Loves Class A drinks.
the story goes from Alex Ferguson's book that, yeah, he just loved food. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, I read that actually. It's from
the story of sweets. I've just made that up a little bit. So, apologies to Mark Bosnich if you're listening, but you do look a little bit like you love sweets.
Yeah, he does.
He does, man.
Best cake?
Fucking rhubarb and custard.
What's the best cake?
Best cake. Oh, it's a fucking big shout. That are we talking full like big cake, or are we talking individual like little
anything
shelf cakes? Anything. Bakewell tart.
No, yeah. Come off it. Bakewell tart. They're awful.
Come on now, Bakewell tarts are fantastic.
That's just that eating sawdust. Sticky toffee pudding's the correct answer, guys.
No, it is a great cake.
Great cake. It's not the best because that's Bakewell tarts, but well done.
Honourable mention to lemon drizzle, though, surely.
No, definitely. Yeah, what about lemon in a cake? Come on.
What about eclairs?
Oh, great cake.
Good cake.
Honestly, great. And this ties us in nicely to one of our previous sponsors, cakes. All the cakes.
Lucky cakes. Brilliant. Oh, guys, what a great podcast that was.
Was it?
Not really good. Enjoyed that.
Really good. Gee, anything?
Made 3 pages of notes on all on a social. I got to mention about 2 lines. Really good.
We do make notes, you know.
No, I make notes, but I made too many this week, apparently, because they could just go in the fucking bin. Excellent.
Yeah, I thought I might do some research this week, but then decided against it.
Are you glad?
Gee, anything to add from the bin?
Yes, my last point is these two fools who I do this podcast with, both questioned Jurgen Klopp signing Diego Jota in the summer.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
I did not question it at all. I said it was a good signing.
Nowhere near good enough to get into that front three, I think you said.
I did say that.
Well, I mean, I think Firmino's going to be dropped for him soon, so...
It might be. Won't last.
So basically, he's going to win the Ballon d'Or and...
The Ballon d'Or? What the fuck's that? Christian Dior's fucking brother perfume?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it sounds like some sort of shampoo make, that. The Ballon d'Or.
I tell you what, the fucking vocabulary police have been on this podcast today, haven't they?
I'll just start speaking right then.
Strange, what about you? You doing anything with your dad today? Which starts to really weird question.
No, mate, I'm not, surprisingly. Although my mum did post on Facebook earlier that she wants to kill him, and that was at about 8 o'clock this morning. So, don't know what he's been up to, but I'll check in with them later.
Well, why don't you just go into the next room, mate, and see?
I think one last point I do just want to raise is... I don't have a garage. Even if I did live with my dad, he does not have a garage.
I know, but at the same time, it's okay that you still live at home. It's not a problem.
It's not, mate. Yeah, no, I'm in despair with it. So, no, nothing to add from me, other than I probably won't be back next week.
What's your mum and dad's favourite TV show?
My dad likes all these weird fucking shows like Ice Road Truckers and Car Restoration and all this kind of stuff. It's fucking boring, honestly. I don't know what my mum watches. I don't think she watches much telly anymore, to be honest.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. Just go and ask her now. We'll wait.
You might be waiting a while. She lives 10 miles away. Just hold the line.
You know, that's a big house.
Yeah, that's a big house. All right, guys. Well done. And we'll see you next week on Tales of Togger.